is the Freedom Team, broadcasting from Podbay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios. We alter your locus aurelius by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This warms your brain to a tasty and toasty 365 degrees Fahrenheit to keep a synth flood of statism out of your head. Can you feel it? Is it working? Can you feel it, Jim Babb?
Yes, I can feel it. Steve Miller, Miller.
The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except government. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. Trigger warning, this is The Freedom Fiends. James Babb, good evening unto you.
Great to be with you, sir.
Indeed. So we are here, back on the Sunday, here on The Fiends, after the first after the big Black Friday event. Although
wow.
What I've heard that it sales have been going down every year, and they now refer to it as Blah Friday.
Oh. They just don't get the tramplings they used to.
Yeah. You know, they got beat by Pamplona this year.
It's hard to live up to the hype, you know. Like, I saw a story going around about a stampede, like it looked like a Walmart employee had died, and then it turns out it was from like 2008. Like, really, you're just going to recycle that story? So, I don't know. Maybe there were serious injuries this year, and I haven't really followed it. Is there a hashtag I should be aware of for that?
Trampling's half off.
Yeah, like Walmart, you know, 2015, I don't know. But
well,
what did you do to celebrate? Do you celebrate Black Friday?
See, you're asking me that question like it's a religious thing. Like, there's certain religions that don't celebrate Black Friday. I once heard a Goldman Sachs banker refer to Black Friday as the Special Olympics of capitalism.
Ooh.
Where everybody, you know, gets to run across that finish line. Get that TV for only $200. But... Well, I was with my niece and nephew.
I think that's kind of insulting to the Special Olympics. I just want to go on record there.
All right. You're placed on record. I mean, I never said... Nobody ever accused the bankers at Goldman Sachs of being friends to humanity, you know?
Right.
Like, yeah. But I spent it with my niece and my nephew. I was out in Ohio. It was extremely boring. You know, I live in the hood. I'm used to, you know, people shooting dope on the steps and fights going on the street and there being an orchestra of cop cars and cop helicopters and, you know, general excitement. And you get out there and, man, there's just nothing going on. And Blah Friday was pretty blah. But my nephew kept confusing Black Friday and Good Friday. He's like, oh, it's Good Friday. It's Good Friday. I'm like, no. Only one person was brutally murdered on Good Friday.
Ooh. and these folks ain't coming back in 3 days. So
no, yeah. Not at all. There's
no zombie story attached to this one.
We went to Walmart though in Ashtabula, Ohio.
There may be a zombie story attached to this one.
If we have an affiliate in Ashtabula, Ohio, I just want to give an official what's up there. But I went there and wow, I've never seen a group of less physically attractive people all in one place. There was a goodly number of them that are Amish, and the Amish are one group that I feel okay talking a bunch of smack about on the radio because I can be pretty certain
they're not listening on the radio. Is this like your ancestral homeland we're talking about?
This indeed, Northeast Ohio, where I'm from.
So is it like the handsome people like you leave town and just leaves everybody else? Is that the trend there?
I believe the exact expression is everyone's a model west of the Allegheny. And yeah, so if you're a stud young comedian like me, you move to a classy neighborhood like North Philadelphia. You know, how do we keep them down on the farm once they've seen North Philly?
They can't.
You can't.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we went to this Walmart and the Walmart. So in addition to having the greeter who is impossibly old because it's Ohio and like the greeter at Walmart is generally
adorable.
Not really. Not when you put these people to it. And then they have a different senior citizen whose job is to clean up the horse poop from all the Amish people's horse and buggy.
Is this like senior exploitation? Is there a word for exploiting like old folks to stand there and?
Yeah, these are all seniors.
Okay, not being exploited or being exploited.
I don't really know.
To think about that.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, so this is part of your adventure now. So you were you in the fray?
Well, they call it a fray, but when everybody's riding in on horse and buggy, there's not these mad stampedes. Well, there are literal horses, but there's not stampedes like you get at these other places. It was pretty chill. I didn't have to wait. I bought one thing, which was a deck of cards for 88 cents so that I would have something to do, play a little solitaire. Yeah.
Nice.
Not like most prisoners, except I was imprisoned in Ohio. It wasn't that bad. But it was 88 cents. I paid for it. The person who was working the register, I gave them $15 because I felt that they deserved $15 an hour.
Okay.
So it was only $15.88. And I complained bitterly that there were I had the choice of too many different decks of playing cards. As a Bernie supporter, I would have preferred that they only had the one. And just
right. Well, as long as there's kids going hungry, I think it's a little ridiculous to have all these different styles of playing cards.
And I don't even see why we need all 52 cards, because like Bernie, maybe we could not be playing with a full deck, and we could rush it down to 45 cards or so, maybe down to 40. Maybe by the end of my administration, we'll get it down to 31 cards.
Aw, poor Bernie. Is he still campaigning? Is he still in it? Or
yeah, of course he's still kicking it. Of course he's Bernie.
I don't know. I have a feeling like he could die and the meme war could go on.
Well,
like he's not even like really
he's still in it. I guess.
Okay.
I don't know. Here's the thing. I know he's still campaigning via meme. I know his people are still annoying.
Right, but those could also be just like tactical meme generating bots, right? Like in the meme wars, this is what you have. Like, who knows if Bernie's even a real person or not? What do you think? Do you think he's a real person?
Fiend phone.
All right. Uh-oh. Did Steve Miller get droned? Are you back, Steve?
I'm back. I got droned, but I've returned.
Yeah, we can get these these near. Luckily, Fiend Phone is pretty resilient, and after that initial EMP flash, it usually like bounces you back on.
Yeah, I'm back. You see, you can drone me once, shame on me. Drone me twice. It's not nice to drone people, or however it was George W. Bush put it so many years ago.
Well, see, people don't realize, like, yeah, we could have perfectly shielded computers here, but because we're broadcasting into Fiend space, we have to be able to send and receive radio signals. So it makes us momentarily vulnerable to the EMP strike. But anyway, we're back.
Occasionally. But if I have one piece of advice, and remember, this is a teaching hospital, and if I have one piece of advice to you aspiring young radio hosts out there, it's if you get droned, get right back up again.
Yeah, right.
You can come back. You can always come back from being droned. It's like bombing when you're a comedian. You can always come back from bombing.
Right, or going for that discount Vizio TV at Walmart, right?
Like, or annoying the clerk at Walmart because you think there are too many cards in a deck of playing cards. You know that maybe that clerk at Walmart doesn't directly control that, but you know that you reach them for Bernie today.
Wait, there's no way that someone's going to complain to a clerk about the number of cards in the deck. I know this is a fact. You know why? Because there are no clerks. There's no one present to ever ask any question to. That's why it's Walmart.
Well, no, I didn't say go in the thing, but someone has to check you out. You have to remember, this is a heavily Amish Walmart that I was at.
Okay.
The teller. You say it like they're behind glass.
Oh, okay. Yeah, the sales associate.
Yeah, the sales associate. See, I don't know. But yeah, the clerk. It's a clerk.
Right, okay.
Yeah, the shopping clerk.
I like to celebrate Black Friday as Black Market Friday. And it's kind of hard to do, but I always thought, you know, like, we really need a day to just really just thank folks for their service. The people that brew their own beer or provide certain medicinal herbs, raw milk, kids that sell lemonade, you know, people that use Bitcoin. Just, you know, just this exciting ecosystem is out there, and just maybe spend a little extra time in it. But it's easier said than done, because there's so many like great things that require FRNs, but I don't know. I still, it's an ideal that I like to strive for.
Well, how would you want to celebrate them? I mean, I understand the first step to doing anything great is writing a Facebook post, but what else would you do to celebrate these people?
Well, just use their services and, you know, and raise your glass and, you know, and appreciate them. You know, just say, hey, thanks, you know.
Raise two glasses. You can double fist raw milk and children unlicensed lemonade.
Or moonshine or whatever, you know. People that, you know, like, you know what? Drink some of that illegally collected rainwater in your front yard, right?
My brother-in-law told me that he went to a NASCAR race and there were all these rednecks on golf carts riding around exchanging moonshine with one another, that they had all had, that they all came armed with about a couple cases worth of moonshine, all in mason jars.
Wonderful.
And they were all riding around in golf carts and you come back with like a variety pack.
Oh, that's nice. And some people do like
I thought it maybe
they'll add like fruit to it or something.
This is the one thing that could possibly get me into NASCAR.
Yeah. Nice. Have you ever had it where they put like fruit in it and like plums or something?
Yeah. That mangoes. Yeah.
Something.
It's good. Yeah.
So good for them.
Yeah. Because so finally a reason for the regular people to get into NASCAR.
What's not to love about NASCAR? It's the most popular sport. In the
it's
United
not the most
States.
Popular sport. Football's the most popular sport in the United States, and I will challenge you to that to the death.
All right, bring it on. How do we measure it in ticket sales? What?
Concussions.
Concussions.
Yep.
Well, you know, yeah, football probably has more concussions, but NASCAR has more like cars flipped over. So,
yeah,
both have their appeal, but.
Remember like a year ago when that dude got straight up? Yeah,
the fumes
we'll be back.
From the NASCAR fuel are pretty good, I hear.
We'll be back for this trip to the market.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
Freedom Fiends. Welcome back to the Freedom Fiends.
Indeed.
Man, it's been what an exciting time we live in, Steve. It's amazing.
You know? Well, we live in a time that is very odd because people use the time as their excuse. It's everything is now. Oh, it's 2015, blah, 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 blah. It's the current year. Therefore, blah, 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 blah. And then it's always, there's reason to be aghast too. Like, I cannot believe it's 2015 and then still blah, 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 blah. So I just hope that when it's 2016, these people remember to update their complaints like people update their checkbooks. Like, I can't believe it's 2015. Oh, the year changed. Oh, man, I forgot to update.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and the older you get, as you'll find out, is that they just click by faster and faster. So it's easier to you start losing whole decades. You're not. Who's there?
We're really quiet.
Okay. Crank it up. Crank it up.
It seems like just yesterday I was all aghast that it's 2010.
I was still waiting. I'm still waiting for the Y2K calamities to happen. You know, what a downer that was.
Yeah. I was about 18 when that happened. And that was the first time I ever got my hopes up for something only to have them dashed. And, yeah. And I also became legal to vote around the same time. So I got to experience those things dually. You know, thinking that something's going to be all exciting. And then it turns out to be, you know, not that wonderful after all. Womp, womp, womp. It's like life, though. That's the message we're giving you on the Freedom Feeds tonight. Give up.
No. Hey, I just saw a really great article from our friend of the show, Jim Bovard, has a op-ed in USA Today. I don't know if you saw that.
They let things larger than charts in USA Today now?
Yeah, it's, they've got a website, too. That's
I'm amazed they let Jim Bovard in there, too, because you and I believe have had beer with Jim Bovard. And
And what a pleasure it is for the few that have had that opportunity. Jim's a super
I'm
guy.
Amazed USA Today would let anything he would write in there.
For tons of mainstream publications. He's had a whole successful career as a writer. He's very successful. So it's really no surprise that it's there, but it's great when he really gets to unload for a pretty big audience. I mean, this story is probably like crammed under the hotel rooms of dozens and dozens of people. the article is that's called The Trump Card for Another Census Roundup, and it's about the Census Bureau, how they're evidently sending out a questionnaire to over 3 million households with all kinds of 28-page, as he calls it, 28-page tsunami of questions about everything from my plumbing to my profession to my ethnicity and income. Okay, so this is Jim actually received this.
He's
writing about it. Okay, and of course, you know, they really handed this to the wrong guy, because as Jim points out in this, he is a former census taker who has written about census controversies for more than 25 years. Okay. So
I think everybody who works for the government should get the title of taker in their name.
Right. Why not? Like it used to be like, you know, Cooper or, you know, like Coppersmith or
taker.
Your last name becomes Plunderer. It's a whole variety. But anyway, Jim goes on to make this analogy in just saying, like, look, you know, we've got this presidential, you know, when it makes you think about, you know, you got Trump who wants to round people up and give people labels and databases based on their religion and ethnicity and stuff. You know, he points out that the Census Bureau, they had played a vital role in helping the Japanese internments during World War II. Of course, it was illegal, but they played a key role there. And these kind of databases are exactly what they want to have when it comes it's time to do the roundups. So pretty heavy. So anyway, Jim is of course not going to fill out that census. I don't fill out census forms. Do you fill out census forms, Steve?
Nope. They came.
Have you ever
been asked to?
Have you ever? Did they even ever try to? Or did they?
They sent somebody to the door when I wasn't home, and my roommate talked to them. But that's fine. Whatever.
Nice.
They came to my house and knocked on the door,
and I didn't say anything. I just shook my head. I didn't say a word. I just shook it, and they're like, "All right, bye." I don't talk to cops.
Census cops.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
For some reason in this country, and in most of the Western world, it's okay to just judge.
Hey, this is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends radio show. Computer programmer Derek Slopey and I have created FiendPhone. I'm using FiendPhone right now to talk with and record one of my co-hosts in real time. Take it, Davi.
Hey, this is Davi Barker, and I'm 1,000 miles away from Michael, but we sound like we're in the same room.
We sure do, Davi. So, Davi, please tell the nice people more about FiendPhone.
FiendPhone is free, no-gov software that opens up a global world of possibilities for collaborative, high-quality, remote voice media production, and I'm digging it.
People can try FiendPhone right now at FiendPhone.com, but we're also raising money to vastly improve FiendPhone and vastly improve independent talk media worldwide.
So go to FiendPhone.com to help out. Who will build the audio roads? We will, with your help.
That's FiendPhone.com, FiendPhone.com. Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Phone.com.
FiendPhone, I never knew remote audio could be this good.
some big news to break to people. We know that people come to this show to learn how they're going to vote. And, you know, what I found in a lot of ways is that the celebrity endorsement has kind of replaced the newspaper endorsement.
Oh, yeah.
Whereas if you didn't know who to vote for before, like maybe my grandparents' age, you would have gone to the newspaper and they'd be like, oh, this guy's not a schmuck. Go vote for him. And now people are like, well, what is my favorite country singer doing? Maybe they like this person who's running for county auditor or what have you.
Right. I think it's really important that we look to entertainers for our information about economics, for our information about politics, our information about foreign affairs. If we can't trust our most handsomest celebrities, then, you know, who can you turn to?
I mean, these people have had multiple marriages to learn from, you know, having your picture taken.
Right. Well, speaking of celebrities, my news feed has just been exploding with Twisted Sister and Dee Snider. Is that, I don't know, is that, have you seen any of this?
I think that your feed, because of your age, probably has a lot of people who were in high school in the 80s, and I think that most of the people that I'm friends with don't give a rat's patoot about Dee Snider. But well, no, I've not heard of
this. For you young bucks out there, Twisted Sister was sort of
It was a
teen rebellion corporate flavored theme song from the 80s. Okay, and it was that, like, you know, we're not going to take anyway. It was pretty cool. You know,
banned in the state of Utah, might I add.
Wow. Okay. Because anyway. But the lyric is, you know, we're not going to take it anymore. And, you know, it's just something that, you know, it's fun. Anyway, Trump asked him if he could use it, you know, because Trump had some bad experiences with the guy from REM, like told him to, like, F off. I think Michael Stipe told him to F off about using.
Oh, man, I bet everybody hurts now.
So anyway, no one saw that coming, right?
Right.
REM and Trump didn't get along. But anyway, evidently Dee Snider's like, yeah, you know, he says, you know, they said, you know, he called and he asked for it. And Dee says, look, we don't see eye to eye on everything. There are definitely issues that we're far apart on. But thinking back when I wrote the song and what the song is about, it's about rebellion, speaking your mind and fighting the system. If anybody's going to do that, he sure is. Okay. Like, wow. It's about rounding them up and building a wall. It's about a national registry based on your religion or skin tone. Come on, man. That's so square. Sorry, Dee.
We're so anti-revolutionary. We're going to go vote and we're going to go learn about the caucus process if that's how our state does it.
Oh, he says Donald Trump is a pretty chill guy. He says when that camera goes on, he furls his brow. He does his thing. Off camera, he's very self-deprecating. He makes jokes about being too orange and about his hair. So,
I believe the Constitution laid out one of the core requirements of the presidency is being able to joke about the orangeness of the hue,
right,
in your skin.
Well, you know, they say, you know, Stalin was a big jokester too behind the scenes, right? Like, or Mussolini, like, yeah, you know, they all, you know, they all have that gruff exterior when they're exterminating the masses, but then they're making jokes back in the office, and everybody loves them. No,
One wonders what it would be like to follow Mussolini at an open mic. Like, after he bombs, I wonder if he's one of these comics
when
that
he bombs,
just go.
He bombs. No.
When he bombs, he bombs Somalia.
Yeah. When purely coincidentally, I saw this other thing in my news feed from The Onion, and it said members of Twisted Sister now willing to take it. In a stunning reversal of their long-stated reluctance to take it, members of heavy metal band Twisted Sister announced Monday that after 24 years of fervent refusal, they are now willing to take it.
You think they should take it?
Yeah, well, evidently they are. And here's a quote. I acknowledge that we promise not to take it anymore, but things change. The world is a different place today, and with that in mind, we would like to go on record as saying that, starting right now, we're going to take it. Read a statement released by the band singer Dee Snider. This really goes hand in hand with this new Donald Trump pseudo-endorsement, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, they're willing to take it. Take it to the White House to make America great again. I wonder if they're going to get Dee Snider one of those. I wonder if they're going to get Dee Snider one of those hats like the skipper from Gilligan's Island that Trump wears.
The skipper? That's the Gilligan hat. Right. There needs to be a Gilligan version to the skipper, right?
Fiend phone. Fiend phone.
James droned.
Somebody joining us?
No, I'm here.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm back.
Nice. So, anyway, Dee Snider, square.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, man.
Well, okay. Nobody accused him of being the greatest entertainer of all time. I don't think there's a lot of people out there that, like, are really legitimate in there. Like, people I feel that like Dee Snider, it's like a minor thing for them, and there's other bands that they like a lot more. I don't think he's anyone's favorite, but...
Right. And, you know, and even at the time, I think his ability or his willingness to not take it was in question even back in the 80s. Like, I think we looked at the video, like, that's hilarious, that's funny and all, but, you know, it was really just sort of this MTV fictional creation thing, as far as I could tell. Did they drone bomb Steve Miller?
Yeah, I keep taking it. That's the problem.
Wow. Man, you know, you take on Dee Snider, and next thing you know, the whole internet is against you.
And then I had to take it. See,
there you go. Anyway,
this is instructive. You make fun of people for their willingness to take it or lack thereof, or flip-flopping on the issue of taking it, and suddenly you're taking fiend drones to the head.
Speaking of taking it and political endorsements, how about our Ronda Rousey? She endorsed Bernie Sanders, I hear.
How many hits to the head has she taken?
Well, she took one really good one afterwards and, like, broke her jaw and put her in the hospital. So her fighting career is probably at least being interrupted, but... You know, I guess as a Bernie spokesman, she's just getting started.
Do you think there are any people out there in America who are huge Ronda Rousey, but also huge Dee Snider fans, and now they have absolutely no idea what to do?
Well, what are some other celebrities? Are there must be some more handsomer celebrities that we could find more reliable.
What does Benedict Cumberbatch have to say?
My niece was
telling me about Benedict Cumberbatch. I mean, he might be from some other country, though. Maybe he doesn't care what's going on in the United States.
Doesn't matter. Yeah.
Maybe he
better known as Sherlock, right? Like, or
oh, is that his role? I have absolutely no idea who this dude is.
He's heavy duty. Yeah, yeah. I would vote for whoever he says, as long as it's Vermin Supreme.
He's a detective.
He's going to
absolutely vote for who he says.
Yeah. And with all that acting experience, he's going to know a lot about the issues.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. It's practically a PhD program. A pretty Hollywood dude. That's what PhD stands for.
Didn't Snoop Dogg endorse Hillary? Am I making that up? Or did I dream that?
You might have. I don't know. We could have one of our interns look into it.
Could we? Yeah, I would be really... I'd feel bad if I said that about Snoop Dogg and it wasn't true. So, but...
Yeah, you don't want to besmirch the good name of Snoop Dogg.
Snoop Dogg, I'll be voting for Hillary Clinton. Boom. May he did. Yep.
Well, I saw him after that then, because I saw him in concert in June. He puts on a good show, I'll tell you that.
Well, I'm sure that's just part of the, you know, his showmanship to, you know, sometimes you have to work with animals in showbiz, right?
Yeah, this is true.
I don't know. know.
I would love it if they got him for the Democratic convention. Like they used to got they used to get Fleetwood Mac to do Don't Stop Thinking About Tomorrow. I would love if they got drop it like it's hot.
Speaking of, this Democratic convention thing, that's coming to Philly.
Don't remind me.
Is this going to be a sort of like having the Pope, only worse, or what is this going to be like?
I think there will be more aggregate police beatings than there were when the Pope came to town, because there will be more protesters.
Who's going to be protesting it? Like Planned Parenthood people? Or I don't get
Republicans, radical leftists.
Like Black Lives Matter. We're probably going to hell out of it.
All kinds. Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. Okay, especially good. If it's Bernie Sanders, because they really hate Bernie.
Because he won't. He easily gives up the mic. At least he has that reputation, I think.
He gives up
the probably
mic,
just like, but... yeah, just jump up there. You know, he won't fight you, you know. Meanwhile, like Trump is like, yeah, rough him up.
I saw one today where he was like, please take the person. He kept calling the person when he got heckled, which is a very odd heckle. See, I don't know. I'm of the school of comedian that believes you should always take your hecklers head on and you should always destroy them. But yeah.
But would you actually have them beaten? I guess that's really, you know, that's physically the Trump beaten? That's
no.
Trump level. That's no, Trump no, no, level no, 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 performance.
No, you smack them down with insults. That's right. What you do. You make them look like a fool.
And right. But so it's really if Trump was really any good, he wouldn't need to have his attendees beaten.
Well, again, we're going by like this new like celebrity standard of like what it takes to be president, and I'm going to assume that like that would include my standard of you have to be able to like win an interaction with a heckler.
You know, what if that became like his new thing? Like he's like, hey, you're ahead in the points. Let's make sure there's somebody to beat up at every rally, and like he surges ahead.
Meow.
Worms.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Freedom Fiends. Steve Miller, back with Jim Babb.
Hey, I was checking out some new celebrity endorsements, and I came across...
Oh, thank God.
You know, I'm just trying to find the most attractive people I can to get my advice from. I went to BernieSanders.com/artists, and there's artists and cultural leaders for Bernie Sanders. And I was just checking it out to see, like, wow. Like, of course, most of these people are nobody I recognize. However, I did see Will Wheaton. Do you know who that is?
Was he the kid from Star Trek?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm.
Wow. He's considered an artist or cultural leader. Which is he?
He's feeling the space burn.
Fiend phone. Fiend phone.
Uh-oh. Sounds like MWD.
Michael W. Dean. Are you here to make a celebrity endorsement?
No, I have a new theme song. I have the true theme song, and it's 3 minutes long. It should be Trump's theme song, and then we'll just discuss as a song. Such a great song. It's kind of forgotten, but I'm going to bring it back.
Here we go. Let's
bring it on.
For Trump.
We don't smoke marijuana in Muskogee.
In Muskogee.
We don't take our trips on
LSD.
We don't burn our draft cards down on Main Street. 'Cause we like living right and being free.
We like living right and being free and being drafted. Where's the... We gotta talk about that, but here we go.
We don't make a party out of loving. But we like holding hands and kitchen food. Francisco to do.
Steve, you know when you sing long from your end, you're like 6 seconds off. It doesn't work.
Yeah.
Only I can do it.
My psychosomatic deafness kicked in.
Leather boots are still in style for manly footwear. Beads and Roman sandals won't be seen. Football still the roughest thing on campus. And the kids here still respect the Michael Dean. And I'm proud and scale the biggest thrill of all. And white lightning still.
White lightning. So moonshine. So they're into breaking the law. They're into breaking the law. As long as it's with liquor and not drugs. So discuss, gentlemen. Spelling counts.
I saw Merle Haggard in concert.
This is counterculture, right?
Is that what it was? It's kind of weird because my wife has been to Gillies in Texas in the 70s when they played that song as like the hit, the banner song of what they called Electric Cowboy Night, which was like the outlaw druggy cowboy night. But like if Merle Haggard had walked in, they would have cheered him until his eyes fell out, you know?
Oh yeah.
So there's kind of a weird crossover of like people who will beat you up while that song plays while they're tripping on free range DMT, you know?
Wow. Yeah. No, thanks. Pass.
I'm proud with, you know what? I'm okay to be a non-electric cowboy.
Did it also reference like what kind of footwear that they have that's
yes,
better than
beads
those
and Roman sandals? Boots are still in style for manly footwear. Beads and Roman sandals won't be seen.
I think so. They're saying like, look, this is who we are. This is our footwear. Yeah. This is our drug of choice.
Uniform required.
These are the people we hate.
We want to be drafted.
We love being in a slave army because that's about freedom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
USA.
That's why voting works.
Yep. Well, I can mark myself down as having been on this episode now.
Nice.
Dear Babby, when we return.
Ah, okay. Yeah, I'll stick around for that.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Back with you on a Sunday evening in the wee hours of the Monday morning. Steve Miller Band. Here with Jim Dunn.
Right. Steve Miller Band.
Fly like an eagle.
I got some news you can use. So, if anybody's got an Android device, I have one. I have two. I did a factory reset on one, and it doesn't erase all the data. It seemed to erase all of the password information, but it still kept, like, some pictures. The disturbing thing was it kept some screenshots from Telegram. Now, Telegram is supposed to be an encrypted IM program that I have problems with to begin with because, first of all, it authorizes with your cell phone number, so it's connected to your phone number. Mm-hmm. Second of all, the default is to keep everything you type, which no privacy-oriented app should ever do. It should you shouldn't even be able to enable that. But if you should, if you can, it shouldn't be default. The default should be not keeping a record of everything. But yeah, man, Telegram's
weird.
Yeah. So I don't trust. Now, people put different like their own versions of Android on different devices. So it could be the company. It was Dragon Touch. But I don't know. I don't trust the one button reset in Android now. So if anyone else has information on that, let us know.
Show me.
That's the news you should use.
Show me on the Telegram where the dragon touched you.
Yeah. I like it. So is it time for Dear Babby?
Indeed, it is.
Uh-oh.
So, first of all, I want to thank everybody that wrote in for Dear Babby. If you have a question for James Babb, you could just hashtag it Dear Babby. So if you click on Dear Babby on Twitter right now, the hashtag, you'll notice that all the questions for Dear Babby happen to be in Indonesian, because apparently Dear Babby means something in Indonesian.
Really?
And we'll get to that. But we have other things that we have other ones that people have sent either to myself or Michael.
Let's back up and just let the audience know that, you know, this is the segment where we try to give back to the community.
Indeed.
Where we try to help people. We're not just we're not just the guys that are always criticizing. We're not just making fun of cops and politicians all the time. We actually have real life solutions to help people. Right?
You know, I would like to see Dear Babby become a syndicated column in USA Today. Is that possible?
Yeah. And I mean, Jim doesn't like the title, but he didn't like the alternative title of Dear Bablanders either.
Yeah. Did you know that I have been published in USA Today? Did you
really?
Know that?
No.
Yeah. It's true.
In what? In what capacity?
It was an op-ed. Had an op-ed published.
So maybe... So anyway, Dear USA Today column.
I have an editorial.
I have an interesting comment about USA Today. My friend, dear friend of like 30 years, like one of the people, probably the person I've known the longest that I know in person. I used to live with him in San Francisco. Little Mike, who's kind of like me in energy and stature. And Little Mike's dad, Rudy Martsky, used to write a column for USA Today. He may still. I don't even know if he's still alive. But he used to write a prominent column in USA Today where he would review sportscasters. And he had the power to get people fired. Like, if he criticized a sportscaster, they could get fired. And, like, you know,
go to his head?
No, I don't know. Maybe. But, you know, like, he was treated like a rock star at all sports ball games. I was living in D.C. with this woman in the mid-80s, in the summer of crack, the summer that the mayor got arrested for crack. I was living in a crack-infested neighborhood across the street from Malcolm X Park. You know, there's a Chris Rock bit about any city in the world, if you're living near MLK Boulevard, it's a bad neighborhood. If you're living in D.C. across from Malcolm X Park, it's a worse neighborhood. And so one time I'm tripping balls with this lady and I'm telling her about Mike's dad, and we found a USA Today and we're looking at it, and she just thought it was really funny. So she was a really, really good painter. So she was tripping and she did this painting of Mike's dad from the picture of him in the paper. And then it was like 4 by 4 feet. It was big and photorealistic. And then she painted balls flying past his head at the viewer. All kinds of sports balls. And we used an oil painting, so we let it dry a couple weeks. And I took a taxi up to USA Today in Roslyn, Virginia, right across the Key Bridge, and delivered it. I made a fake manifest and looked like a bike messenger, and I went and delivered it for him. I said, I have delivery for Rudy Martsky. I delivered it. Never told Little Mike about it. Little Mike can't paint or draw to save his life, but I said it was from Little Mike. I found out when his dad's birthday was and delivered it the day before his birthday. So for years, his dad had this hanging in his office. And like bragged to people that his son had painted it, and he'd said something to Mike about like, "Hey, thanks for thinking of me on my birthday. I really appreciate it." But you know, like, Mike had called his dad the week earlier. You know, there was a misunderstanding. Like, the dad thought the son had painted it. Yeah.
Epic.
And for years, he bragged about this painting and showed it off to friends until he realized it was a prank on him by some anonymous drug friends of his dad's. And Mike lived in Reston, Virginia, which I don't know if you guys know, but like, everybody except Mike's dad works for the CIA. It is like the bedroom community dorm of the CIA. Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. If there's no crime in Reston, then I guess what you have what they would call rest in peace.
Ooh. All right. Dear Babby. We need a
Dear Babby.
As a unicorn chaser after that.
Let's try to get back to the community here.
All right. This first question is addressed to both of us, Jim. Good. Dear Steve and Bab. Jim, I've noticed that you dress like a Republican actuary or perhaps the administrator of a youth soccer league. Whereas Steve dresses like a thrift store mannequin come to life, or perhaps the world's most overpaid rodeo clown. How could I set the fashion world on fire as you two freedom fiends have? Signed, Stylin in Rhode Island.
Well, I got to jump in here because I dress like an overweight, middle-aged lesbian who doesn't care. Hmm. I basically wear the loosest clothes I can.
That's why you don't shave your armpits?
Yeah. Now, you know what's interesting about the actuaries? When it really comes down to it, that's kind of what the guy does in Fight Club. You know, he talks about, I apply the formula. Although an actuary probably wouldn't actually go out to the field and photograph the wrecks himself. But that guy's an actuary. And actuary is the most boring job there is.
I mean, I would have to agree with the writer here. Jim does look like he's like just a clipboard away from what you would imagine.
Yeah, and his taste in music reflects it too. I think the hippest thing he liked in the past 30 years was probably like beating his fist to "We're Not Going to Take It" when it was on MTV in the first place.
Okay,
all right.
So, what fashion advice do you have for our writer, James?
Don't change with the trend. They'll catch up with
you. Sensing some sarcasm in the tone of the question. And with that setup, wow, you know. I think that the character comes from the inside and not really how you adorn yourself. And I think I go for a low key exterior because I prefer to be understated. I prefer to be underestimated.
Doesn't it make it better when you're dealing with authority figures too and telling them why they have no authority to look kind of like people they would know?
I don't know. I've done it in various, wardrobes, but I'm always a white dude. So I would say it doesn't make any difference with authority figures. They'll beat you up no matter what. But I'd say it's better to be understated. You know, why not? You know, like let people wonder, make them guess what you are. Make them, you don't have to necessarily like put it on a billboard or a bolo tie.
See, my advice is that if you want to dress like Steve Miller, if you want to be like the bolo tied bandit, you need to shop only at the finest thrift stores, and you need to go and you need to get yourself a nice, preferably Masonic bolo tie that is enormous and that you could rock around, because the bolo tie befits the bigness of the man.
Okay.
Are you the son of a stonecutter?
I am not the son of a stonecutter, but I've got bolo ties. Like, are you? That's amazing.
My dad was a Mason and my mother was Eastern Star. But they quit when I was really young. My dad said there was so much dogma to open and close a meeting. By the time they did that, there was no time for the meeting.
Yeah.
So then
that's
he got
like a Libertarian
Rotary.
Party. That's basically a Libertarian Party meeting.
So then he got into Rotary International, which served his purposes more. And I don't think he's missed a meeting in 60 years or something.
That's impressive.
Yeah. All right. What's the next Babby question?
The next Babby question. So this is one of the ones that's in Indonesian. Dear Babby, aku tak perlu kamandang sakpuna, aku anang apu perlu kamayang meserima aku apu adanya itu sudah kudup. #DearBabby. signed inquisitive in Indonesia. So the translate...
That was actually meant for the Ask the Sumo Sexual segment, which is coming up next.
That's coming up on Tuesday.
Okay.
You and I have an episode on Tuesday, and that's what that is. So the translation for what this woman, who is Princess on Twitter, her handle is B444BY, close to Babby. It's, I don't need you perfectly. I just need the veil. It is enough. Emoji heart. I think this woman might be trying to get citizenship from you, Bab.
Yeah.
I'm down. Whatever. Whatever I can do to help is fine. Sure.
Well,
so my answer is, yeah, why not? Next question.
Now, how many of us who are married and have wives that are down with our libertarian inanities, how many of our wives would be so down with it they'd be down with us marrying a foreign woman we don't know to get her citizenship?
Sister wives. Good question. Yeah.
Okay, moving on.
I don't know.
Dear Babby,
yep.
Next it'd one. Have Dear to Babby. Be approached the in the right way, I think.
All right.
Yeah.
Honey, so. I'm going out to marry this chick from Chile. And I'll explain it when I come back. Yeah. I'd have dinner ready. No. No.
Get me a sandwich.
No.
So this one again is addressed to both. More Dear Babby. Whereupon our return after this trip to the market.
Where you can buy Indonesian princesses at popular prices.
There's an episode.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Technically, yes, but only because I have a concealed carry permit, and they can stop me.
Wait, you have a concealed carry permit, and you weren't carrying a gun when you got mugged?
No, I was doing the ghost tour, and I'm already carrying a bunch of crap.
So wait, you were like with a bunch of people when you got mugged?
No, I had just left a bunch of people when it happened.
That'd be quite a Philly experience to get mugged while doing a historical
tour. Here's what I don't understand about you, Michael Dean.
Mug the whole group at one time?
Yeah.
That could be...
Yeah.
Steve's mad. Sorry.
No, here's what I don't understand. So we have trigger warnings all throughout this show, yet here we are talking about a traumatic event in my past, and I was not given a trigger warning.
Well,
and
you know,
that's fair.
Extremely microaggressed.
That is a good point, but yeah. I think what happened was when it first happened, you were kind of in shock and denial about it to the point where I thought you were not harmed by it and were taking it in stride.
Yeah, you were.
I kind of did.
After it happened, you were kind of like, yeah, whatever. Yeah, I got mugged. Cool. I got my phone, some guy's house. And I thought you were like, you know, like, oh, it's Philly. Getting mugged is like, you know, going to the store.
Yeah, it happens.
You know what? I think you
like going to the store
with grace and dignity, just as default. You know, even something that might frazzle other people. My two six shooters,
grace and dignity. I have one in each pocket.
Perfect for addressing any crisis.
I don't leave home without a gun, and I'm not bragging in saying that. I'm just like, anybody who lives anywhere it's legal, why wouldn't you do that? I have, you know what I have that's really fun? I have a Derringer, a .22 two-shot Derringer. Now, wouldn't it have been fun?
And that's just your keychain, right?
This was my keychain. Like, wouldn't it have been fun to have that in your pocket, not even pull it out, and just shoot the guy in the hip through your pants when he walked up to you?
Oh, it would have been amazing. I thought about that, actually.
Yeah.
Or in the stomach.
Because I had a costume on at the time, right? I was wearing an honest-to-God ghost tour costume. Yeah. And how great would it have been to have just been like, okay, let me reach for my wallet and then like have something on my hip and just pop.
Yeah. Well, pop. It's a two-shot tier.
It's a two-pop.
Two-pop.
Pop.
Two-pop's still alive. That should be your rap name, Tupop.
Tupop.
All right, what's the next Babby? I had some Babbies. What are the Babbies that were on my Facebook page? They were good.
Make it good.
Ma- Whoa there. Okay. So here I'm fresh off being microaggressed. I'm finding the ones that you sent in, Michael.
I got them.
You got them.
How many packs of Freedom Fiends buttons do I need to sell and give away before we have, before we're at full LibPair worldwide, confused in Casper? And for those who don't know, LibPair is Libertarian Paradise. So this person believes that by spreading Freedom Fiends buttons, they're going to get to a stateless society. How many do they need to sell? Confused in Casper wants to know.
Okay. Well, we should be able to do that calculation, right?
Yes.
First thing we have to do is figure out, okay, how many minds do we free per button? Okay. Right.
I don't know because they're conversation pieces, but I'm never there for the conversation.
Right. Well, let's just say we're going to have to take some pretty big guesses here, but we can start to at least approximate and start to work a theoretical model down that we can perfect with better statistical information. But let's just say you got one bag of, say, like 12 buttons.
10.
I'm going to call that one mind freed. Somebody's going to be like, what do you mean? Right. And like somebody
speeches hate speech. Yeah. And ask you about your worms.
Yeah, exactly. Somebody's going to ask about the worms. And next thing you know, they're headed down that path and they're, you know. So
how did you arrive at 10, Jim? What is it about? Like, what's the difference between button 9 and button 10? Where they're like,
well, you said 12, but there's 10.
Okay. So 10, you know, one of them's going to be like Fiend Phone and they're going to be like, that's a cool raven, but maybe that could trick, you know, that could get somebody into an interesting path. Maybe not. But let's I'm just, what do you think? If not 10 buttons per freed mind, what do you think is a better estimate?
I think each pack of button might be one freed mind. However, there is a variable that is unique to these buttons from anybody else I've talked to who has buttons. I know of three people who have been stopped and hassled by the cops. In one case, arrested, but in the other two cases, just detained. And in all three cases, the cops took their Fiends buttons. So I don't know how we figure that in.
They're taking orders from the CIA.
Well, what that could be doing, though, who knows? That could be like
soul saved, too.
You know, it could be like a worm infiltrating the police as they take that button back to headquarters. And somebody else is like, what do you mean asking me about my worms? What is this?
They should all quit.
Fiend Phone? What's Fiend Phone? You know, and they put a team on it. We got to find out. So, one bag of 10 buttons equals one mind freed. We got 7 billion people. 70
You're
billion.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Are you sick of peaceful people being locked away for victimless crimes? Instead of trying to get out of jury duty, consider taking it so you can do the right thing. A single juror with a conscience can send someone home to their family instead of to a jail cell. If there's no victim, how can there be a crime? And if the judge or prosecutor are keeping you in the dark, what are they trying to hide? You can vote your conscience instead of being a pawn of the state. For more information, Google jury nullification or check out the Fully Informed Jury Association at fija.org.
That's Steve Miller. We got James Babby. Doing the Dear Babby. It's a new ongoing segment.
The community.
I guess I wanted to finish. We didn't really answer the last one in the last segment about how many Freedom Fiends buttons does this fella have to sell and give away to bring a stateless liberty to the world. I think it was basically
70 billion
pack per human.
Per mind free.
So I gave away like 2,000, 3,000, 2,800 buttons at Porkfest and then came home and didn't sell any for a long time. I didn't know why. And my wife was like, you saturated the market. I was like, I didn't know the whole market was there, but I think whole market.
Yeah, but she didn't realize there's 70 billion more needed to get the job done. So
yeah, so here's the thing. It's not going to do it overnight, but if you order some Freedom Fiends buttons tonight, you'll be that much closer to LibPair and you'll have a conversation piece, including a button that says, ask me about my worms, which I heard is really the most fun of all of them.
Of course it is.
Because you can answer that with anything, man. And it makes people think you're diseased, which is always fun. So, and you should order them
soon.
It's
really convincing when you use it, you know? So
you should order the button soon because I only make about $1.70 on each pack, and that's including the work. It doesn't cover the labor to put them together. But the post office, for now, I can dump them in a mailbox. But the post office is trying to make it so I will have to come in. If they do that, I'm going to go like once a month and do them. So as it is now, like I send them out hours after I get them. Like I'm like, ooh, buttons. I get a little endorphin rush. I have the stamps and envelopes right here on my desk. I have the buttons in a drawer all put into plastic bags. It happens quick. I mean, you want to see me move, order some buttons.
Wow.
But, you know, if you don't do it soon, the government is going to make it so it's going to take a month. So do it soon.
Wow.
What's the next question for Dear Babby?
All you fence sitters, everyone who's been waiting to order their Freedom Fiends buttons.
And they're bigger buttons.
Yeah.
Yep.
They're tactical. Then. They're also tactical buttons, yeah. Right?
They're bigger buttons. They're too big for your kids to swallow. Well, that's not a guarantee. But
and by the way, just so everybody out there that's listening knows, you will be named Freedom Fiend of the Month if you can take the buttons and put each pit button back up and make it look like it's a quill on a porcupine. If you're able to like use them to craft some sort of porcupine, we will give you an award and acknowledge you upon the show.
Yep. So the next question comes from Scott Bowers. Oh, he's from South Carolina. So Scott in South Carolina, because that's the format, right? As you have the same letter of the name and the town.
We anonymize them. It's usually some sort of adjective. What's his question?
Okay, but Scott Squinting in South Carolina wants to know, why are hippies so filthy? Now, you guys can answer this with authority, because where'd you meet?
We met at Occupy Philadelphia, which...
You know, there was an Occupy Casper where I live. It was in the paper here. There were six people at it. It's really hard to do, like, number of people-based activism.
Right, and, like,
Wyoming.
Three of those were the goth kids, you know?
Yeah.
I have an idea for a web series, actually, called Occupy Eau Claire, which is set in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, and it's, like, however many years after Occupy 2016 or so. And they're still there, still fighting the good fight. And there's only about three of them left. And it's about their daily protest that they go out, and they're never giving up.
And they're holding out for $75 minimum wage.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I think Wyoming might be a better setting for that. There's a lot of towns here with like 20 or 30 people in a bunch with five.
If you had four, you'd have more than 10% of the town.
So why are hippies dirty, though? Let's not avoid the question here.
Yeah.
I'm going to defer to the closest thing we have to a hippie, and that's going to be Michael W. Dean, who is at least a punk rocker. So I think that's close, although I have hung around with a lot of hippies.
Yeah, but I bathe. I'm pretty clean.
Right, yeah.
Well, my wife does my laundry, too. I don't know how I would do in the absence of the maid service, but I'd shower and brush my teeth if you know. Probably not as often as someone that has a day job in an office, but more often than a hippie on my own, for sure. I will say my real experience with hippies is leftist anarchist punk rockers at squats in Europe when I was traveling with my film and with my band. And the real like template for me was West Philadelphian left anarchists from the Lost Film Festival. I did many occasions shared a space with them. I was in the same room at the same time as them a lot.
And how were they? Were they cool?
They, you know what they did? They would like to stink as bad as possible, especially when getting on airplanes.
Well, now,
I really
like
think
the
they
Uhuru
thought
movement or are
no,
these,
it's white
these
kids.
Like, oh, these are white hippies. Okay.
Yeah. But they would like, I think they would, I never asked them about it, but I think they stank as protest. I think they stank as an anti-capitalism thing because like, I don't know. When I'm getting on an airplane, I'm going to make sure I put on some deodorant, you know, but they wouldn't. And I but sat
maybe,
next
you know,
to one
maybe
on an airplane.
It's in solidarity with like Venezuela where they can't afford.
But this was like 20 years ago.
Okay. Or with Cuba or whoever communism was ravaging at the time. So,
yeah.
For those of you unfamiliar, what most folks in West Philadelphia kind of look like they had just come from their audition for a role in the musical Hair.
Well, West Philly's a pretty diverse, you know, when you think about West Philly, though. I mean, there's like people from all different cultures and demographics. And
you know, I was going to have a contest. I was going to say free buttons to anybody who can name what song this line is from. It's Cuban Army Surplus on Pirate Satellite. But the thing is, you can't really do that kind of radio contest anymore because anybody can Google it. They don't really know it. They don't really know that's from Radio Clash, if I say it. But the internet's ruined everything.
Well, tell us more now that it's been ruined.
Oh, I said, I posted the other day a takeoff on that thing. The first they came for the socialists. I did not speak up because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionists, and I said, cool, take them away. But you know, there are socialist and trade unionists that are useful idiots like the Clash who write really good music like the song Radio Clash, which contains that line, this is Radio Clash on Pirate Satellite, and something about Cuban Army Surplus. I like that. I would like to be broadcasting on Cuban Army Surplus propaganda radio equipment.
Did you just win the buttons yourself?
I did. Yep.
Okay.
I'll get them.
You correctly guessed the song it was from. Nice work.
There we go. Yay, I win buttons.
Finally, something to put on your jean jacket.
So do either of you travel? I'm looking for someone that travels to events that wants to travel with the Bipcot flag. I have a 3x5 foot gorgeous flag.
I don't do flags.
How about you?
Flag it.
Do you want to wear it as a, Steve, do you want to wear it as a blue-purple cape?
It would get stolen here.
Yeah, I mean, they redistribute the wealth. All right. So,
well, it's not stealing because it's protected by Bipcot, which means that anybody can use it as long as they're not government. See, so
it's a shame that 1% of the Freedom Fiends hold 90% of the flags, and that's Jim Jesus and Michael Dean.
It's true. Yeah, but we had to send away from China to have them made. All right. So we did. Never, you never answered why hippies are so filthy.
I have no idea.
All right, moving on. Next question. Does it violate the non-aggression principle to fire your girlfriend's children into the sun? And this person says they're asking for a friend.
Well, asking the for kid's friend. Consent. Was there consent?
No.
Then I'd say it violates the principle. But I'm not saying girlfriend. It's not a good idea. I'm just saying it probably will violate the non-aggression principle. You may want to have one of your non-libertarian friends do it for you. How about that?
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah.
There you go.
See.
Now, that's an interesting thought, is outsourcing your violations of the NAP.
Right. It's the Shabbos goy phenomenon. Do you know what a Shabbos goy is?
I'm sure it's something the Jews used to maintain their religious purity.
Right. Where you basically turn the lights on and off in the synagogue because they can't do that. So right. So libertarians need to have somebody that's not concerned about their principles around for when you need to, you know,
have certain lights put out, so to speak. If you are someone who's friendly and likes people around you, you know, you're probably going to go to Porkfest with your 8 libertarian friends and one guy who's kind of on the fence, who will be a libertarian in a year, but he still likes to beat people up. That's
right.
Put him to work before he switches.
Right?
Yeah.
I think we've talked. I'm having deja vu about this conversation. So
I think we have had this in a discussion about
libertarian indulgences.
Yes. And yes.
Stuff like that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I think we really should cover this. Yeah.
All right.
It's kind of like a mashup. A Freedom Fiend mashup. See.
Is there a reboot command for libpair when a sociopath starts to enslave the masses?
Okay. Wow. I don't even understand the question.
Hey, I have to challenge the premise of the question there.
All right. Do you have more Dear Babbies there, Steve?
Let me check.
While he's looking, let's think about this last one for a second, though. The premise of the question was, hey, you guys have a bunch of freedom. Somebody's going to enslave you because you've got too much freedom. I actually hear an argument kind of like that. They're like, oh, you can't have anarchy because warlords take over. Don't we always hear that? Like,
yeah.
You can't risk not having a government because a government might sprout up.
Yeah.
oh, okay. So it is kind of a weird circular question in that regards. But, yeah, just, you know what, another 70 billion buttons, boom, it's back. So
another well, 70 billion weapons buttons. Too.
Or as a so, shield, at least as yeah. a shield.
Do you guys think it would be safe to say that freedom is 70 billion buttons in debt?
No, 70 billion buttons away. There's no
that
debt.
Would probably be enough your to like fill the freedoms. Pacific Ocean with buttons. I don't know how many that would be, but...
Huh. Fiends, buttons, it's just a billion away. It's just a billion away.
70 billion, unfortunately.
Yeah, 70 billion. It's 70 times worse than the song lets on.
Right.
See, here's our entertainers. They're just too busy endorsing politicians. They don't even know about the button deficit. It's sad. They don't educate themselves on the issues.
I wonder what the... you know what? Hey, this would be funny. I think we should all try to get on that Bernie Sanders artist list. Would that be hilarious if we could get Bernie Sanders' campaign to recognize us as artists for Bernie?
You guys, you know, going back to the thing of the reset button, you know about the Hassel Doctrine, right? It was an early Freedom Fiends theory that should have replaced the Second Amendment, which is if anyone hassles you, you get to shoot them.
Nice.
Let's take off on Castle Doctrine. We don't recommend that.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
Site a bomb scare wins. That's one of the comments. So we're talking about this article in Make Magazine. I've written for Make Magazine. I wrote an article called Make a Mailbox Movie, which was written in like 2001 before there was a lot of before you could easily transmit big files on the internet, and before I think it was before YouTube maybe, or before YouTube was big. I made a couple movies that documentaries that had interviews with people in other countries and other states where I didn't have the money to travel to film the people. So I found people to film them for me and ask the questions I wanted to and frame them in a certain way, you know, light wise and things. And it worked out pretty well. And I called it Make a Mailbox Movie and wrote an article, and it was in Make Magazine, well, like issue 3 or something. And, nice. Yeah. And it's completely obsolete now. I mean, you could do that easily without leaving your chair. You know, you don't even have to go to the post office to do that. But back then you had to mail around tapes. So here's an article called $5 Raspberry Pi Zero Pirates Radio Throwies. So throwies are little devices that have magnets that you throw at stuff and it sticks up where people can't reach it. I'm looking at this going, like, Department of Homeland Security is just going to take these out and blow them up in the parking lot and lock
as
down
they
the town.
Should. As they should. This is flagrantly having just flagrant disregard for the federal government and their ability to regulate the airwaves.
We need a tone so people know when James is sarcastic, because your tone doesn't. We need to have like a right. beep when you're being sarcastic. So right. there's a new Raspberry Pi, which is a tiny computer that's been out for some years. It's like $35. There's a new smaller $5 version now called the Raspberry Pi Zero, which is actually out of print. Like you can't. They all sold out the first day. They're selling for like more than $35 on eBay. You can't really get them, but you could order them and wait a while and get a bunch of them, I think. So they're saying you can use these for Pi FM. There's that's
what I want to know is where does it get the source to broadcast, right? How do you tell it what to transmit? It's got to be connected to a network or something, right?
No, it says one of the comments says more have gone USB to make their own playlists.
Yeah. I see what looks like a SIM card in this one.
Yeah. Well,
unless it's a micro SD card. I think it looks kind of like a SIM card, though.
Yeah.
I don't know. It must be an SD card.
I like this comment. Too bad radio is dead. Do you guys know who Mark Maron is? Mm-hmm. He's a comedian I really like a lot. He has a show called
You Really Maron. Don't, Jim?
Jim, what's wrong with you?
Remember, you've told the audience how square I am.
Yeah. Steve, have you seen the episode where it's got Phil Hendry in it, and he's on radio for a minute, and then he ends up like in a fist fight with the radio programmer and being dragged out of the building, and the guy's saying, basically saying, you'll never work in radio again. You know, he's like, you're dead in radio. And Maron is in handcuffs being manhandled by two cops, being pushed into a cop car. And he said, everyone's dead on radio.
Boom.
Yeah. Boom. So I think James wants people to make these and put Fiends episodes on them and throw them all around your local library. But
why not? Just for kicks, a project to do with the kids. That's what I'm thinking this could be. I'm looking at this little thing. You know what? It's an interesting story when you say that this thing, it's this great little computer that's only $5. And it's so great that you can't get them for $5. Like, having a computer available for $5 was so incredible that they're going for $35.
I think ISIS bought a ball to use as timers and bombs.
Wow. Instead of trying to get kids to build clocks.
Yeah.
I heard you can use it to run a pressure whore.
A pressure whore?
A pressure cooker. A pressure cooker.
Did you guys hear about that couple that had their door kicked in because, like, the husband and wife were in different rooms arbitrarily and separate from each other, not even knowing? One was Googling pressure cookers and one was Googling buying backpacks. And those two things coming from the same IP address at the same time got their door kicked in right after the Boston bombing. Did you guys know about that?
It's hard to believe that they're even able to do that. I can understand where they want to.
I know.
And they would harvest all your data with the dream of doing that, but to actually do it is hard to believe.
Yeah, because cops are really, really stupid. I'll just say
it. Don't get your door kicked in.
They're going to kick by the door in. We're not stupid.
Yeah, it was actually the next door neighbor who had done those Google searches.
They're going to beat me up and tell me they're smart because I said they're stupid. All right, it's been a good show, guys.
Thank you.
Awesome. Good time with you guys.
Yep.
How to take homeschooling on the road. There's an article for that.
Sounds great.
I think he wrote it.